meet out here again and have the word of God spoken, that we can speak the word, that we can hear the word, sing the word as we have. And that's the amazing thing, the wonderful song service we had this afternoon, this morning, this weekend has been fantastic, and the fellowship that we've been able to acquire and be able to share has also been tremendous. And so I want to thank each one, for being here and being attentive, and for the opportunity that God continues to grant me to share my thoughts on the gospel of how I interpret from the word, and of how God always seems to deliver. You know, with everything going on in our life, I was really wondering if I was going to be able to make it here this weekend. And as those doubts arose, I thought to myself, I'm like, in God's way, it always makes a way. God's way always grants a way for it to come out and to be able to be admonishing through His Word. And as I thought about it, I was like, it's nothing but the devil trying to tell me, just, you don't have to. You don't have to speak the Word. You don't have to go find somebody else to do it for you, because that's what the devil wants. He wants us to put down the Bible. He wants us to put down the works that we do for God, the things that make us feel good, the things that make us know that we're being obedient to God, and things that bring cheer and goodness and joy to our life. And that's what the gospel does for me. It brings joy. And I hope it does you as well. Being able to read and study God's word brings joy to my life, because one, the obedience, two, the knowledge and the wisdom that we're able to take and obtain from it, and three is the fact that you never know what one word or one question or one scripture, how it may change someone else's life. And that's what I love in my life, of what God's been able to bless me with, is the fact that the way is being able to speak and maybe help someone, because I love helping people. I love being able to be inspiring and helping to my children and to my wife and to my own church family, and because that's what Jesus Christ does for me. Jesus Christ has continued to inspire me through His Word. When we read it, it's like, wow, how amazing. How much more grand can God's Word become as we age and as we grow older, and as we advance in our Christian life, and as we grow closer to God in our relationship with Him. You know, that's what we've been looking at the last 2 days, is Joseph's relationship with God and how amazing his relationship was to not falter, to stand strong, to stay firm, and stay dedicated to serving Christ at such an early age. At 17 years old, and so we started with Genesis 37 last night. We covered part of 39, most of 39 this morning, skipping over 38 because it did not directly deal with Joseph and his life. And so we wrapped it up at the end of 38, towards the end of 38 this morning, or excuse me, towards the end of 39. And so we've seen that Joseph has been sold into slavery by his brothers. We've seen that he was favored by his father the most, which is why his brothers hated him, was because he was favored. He found such favoritism by his father that his brothers could not stand it. They were filled with jealousy. They were filled with envy. And when we're filled with envy and hatred, those things cause us to do things we normally would not. Those things cause us to go outside the box and fill our minds with things that we normally would not think about. They wanted to toss him in a pit. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to slay him. But by the end, their own profit became into question, and thinking, what profit is it to us if we kill him and shed his own blood? Why don't we just sell him? Why don't we just sell him and make some money off of him? At least we have something to hold on to brag about, to feel good about, because he's out of our lives. We no longer have to deal with the favoritism of our father to him. And that maybe Dad, maybe our father, maybe Jacob will take a little bit more notice to us and to what we do, how we feed the flock, how we help take care of things around here, and that, you know, maybe we'll become the favorite. No, so in this morning we talked about, we saw how Joseph was not sold but once, but he was sold twice. He was sold to the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites sold him to Egypt, to Potiphar, the captain's guard. He was the right-hand man to the Pharaoh. And we saw that how just seeing the favor, how God was favorite to Joseph, and how everything that Joseph did prospered. And so we see that Potiphar made him over all his house. He gave him authority over all his house, and he covered all the ins and outs from day-to-day processes, and that he, you know, he helped with making sure everything run correctly. And we see how Joseph was tempted, and we're just trying to cover this real fast just to kind of catch up to where we are. But Joseph was tempted with Potiphar's wife, and how it says in verse 6 of chapter 39 of Genesis, it says that he was a goodly person and well-favored. So we see that he was a man of great attraction. He was an attractive young man, and he was well-favored in everything that he did, and the things that evidently the people really liked him. And that's the thing in our life, is what we see, is how do people see us? Do people see us with a Christ-like mentality? Do people see Christ in us? When we speak, in our actions, and how we hold ourselves, and how we portray our life every single day, are we being able to shed the light of Christ to those around us? And that's what Joseph had in him. Joseph had in him the ability for people to see something great in him, just like Jesus Christ. People knew that Jesus Christ had something special about him for the ones that believed, and the ones that could step out of their own way and allow Jesus to do what he was supposed to do in the healings and the miracles that they saw. And so we saw that Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife, and he stood his ground. And this wasn't just a one-time temptation. We see that it was continuing every single day, that day by day. In verse 10 there, it says that it came to pass that she spake to Joseph day by day, and he did not hear her. He did not lie with her. He didn't even want to be around her. That's because he knew the sin was wrong. He knew what was happening was wrong. And he trusted and wanted to obey God more than he wanted to desire the sins of something that was going to possibly happen for a moment and then be gone. He knew that obeying God is something greater than the sins of this world has to offer. He knew it was great wickedness, and it was sin against God. And so because he would not lay with Potiphar's wife, Potiphar's wife found the opportunity to set him up and to try to say that he tried to come in and lay with her. And as he rushed out, she grabbed his garment and he left it behind. And long story short, Potiphar comes home. She's already told the guards. She's already told all the people of the house that what happened. She tells Potiphar what happens. And, well, in verse 20 is where we're going to pick up this afternoon. We're going to see that it says that Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So we see that Joseph was sold to Potiphar. Potiphar saw something great in Joseph. Potiphar made him over all his house. Well, now Joseph has been accused of trying to take advantage of Potiphar's wife. That's the accusation. And now Joseph is cast into prison, but he's cast into prison with more authority. He's cast into prison with another role of what God is working in his life. God, what we can't see now, what Joseph can't see now, is the fact that how God is molding him for something greater in the future. Does that not sound like what happens in our Christian life to this point? To this point, look back just 5 years. Look back 10 years. Look back 15. However long you want to look back, think about how much we have changed, not even as a society. Think about just inside our Christian life, just inside our spiritual life, in our understanding of the Bible, our understanding about who Jesus was, our understanding about how great and how wonderful God is. Think about how much we have grown as Christians in such a short period of time. And here we have Joseph that has been through a tremendous amount of stress, I would say, anxiety-driven acts of envy, of jealousy, of hatred, and how he still keeps his eyes on Jesus Christ. At this point, we're really not sure how old he is yet, if he's still 17 or how many years it's been. I think it does tell us on, as we get into it, he does tell us his age on end. But here where we're at, that he has been given favoritism because the Lord showed mercy on him. And because not only that the Lord showed mercy on him, but that the people could still see Christ, and could still see God in him, could still see how great Joseph was and the authority of what he had been given up to this point, and how he used it in a beneficial way to glorify God, a beneficial way to not let these things bring him down, a beneficial way to withstand temptation and to push past what he had been faced with. It's like Lee led this closing song this morning, farther along, tempted and tried, made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. You know, that's what it's about. It's about that each one of us, it's about that I, Brother Greg, Brother Lee, Brother Tony, all of us, Sister Jennifer, Sister Thelma, Sister Deb, that we're working together, that we're pushing further every single day to what? To please ourselves, to make more money, to buy bigger houses, to buy brand new cars, to give our kids greater possessions than we ever had, to put more screens in front of their faces, to get them large, great educations. Those things, there's nothing wrong with it. And it's okay. But the fact is, it's the fact that how much more obedient we're becoming to God. It's about how our obedience to God is continuing to push farther along. How much further have we come from the time that we became a Christian to where we are now? As we're looking at Joseph's life and we see how he's pushed from being 17 years old and he's being hated by his brothers, being sold into slavery on two different occasions, how he's been given authority over somebody's house and being granted all these great things, to being now thrown back into the pits of a jail cell. But although he's thrown in a jail cell, he's given back just a little bit of authority. He's given back just a little bit of authority because he still allows God to be the forefront of his life. He allows God to be the forefront of his life. So now we see, as he's been imprisoned, and as we all know, all good things work together to those that love God. All good things work together to those that love God and to fulfill God's will. And so what we're going to see some amazing things come out of this, of him being tossed into prison, and it's going to be glorious. It's going to be a great, glorious thing that we're going to see here, that how God has used Joseph once again and how he uses him to his glory, just as he does for us today. So in chapter 40 of Genesis, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. It says, and Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers, and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them inward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season inward. So as we see here, we see that the chief baker, the chief butler, we can look at him as the butler also being the cupbearer. We can also, and then we have the baker that offended Pharaoh. It doesn't really tell us exactly how they offended him, so we can't go to figure out what it was, but it must have been something significantly bad, seeing that they were tossed, being that they were the chief, they were the head over these two positions, for them to be tossed into prison. Pharaoh puts them in the prison of the captain of the guard, which is Potiphar, and Joseph is there. So the two officers have dreams, we're going to see. They dreamed a dream, both of them, it says. Each man his dream in one night. So both these men has a dream in the same night, each man according to the interpretation of the dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison, it says. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. They were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore do you look so sad today? So because of this question of what is asked by Joseph unto the chief baker and the chief cupbearer, the chief butler, that this was something that was not normal of their daily face-to-face meetings. It wasn't something that was ordinary. It wasn't something that was, this is something that was unusual that they were faced with, because it says that they continued a season inward there in verse 4. So they're together for quite a time. It lets us know they were continued a season inward inside the prison, so they really got to know each other. They really got to understand a little bit about their attitudes, about who they were, and so they established a relationship. They were able to get to know one another. So Joseph, when they came in, they were sad. So of course he was of concern. If I come in and I see Brother Ben, and he's sad, and I think we all know Ben, he's always pretty chipper, smiling and really great to greet you. Well, if we came in and he wasn't his normal self, we'd be like, what's wrong? We'd be concerned. We'd know something was out of the ordinary of what's going on, of something bothering Ben, or something's laid on his heart. So that's what I look at with Joseph here. And it says in verse 8, it says, they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? He says, tell me your dreams. He says, I pray you. Whenever I see them say, I pray you, I look at it as a begging. I look at it as, please, let me help you. Let me help you so that I can help relieve you of your burden. And that's exactly what God does for us in our life. That's exactly what Jesus Christ does for us. He begs us to let him relieve us of our burdens. When we are lacking faith, he wants us to come and he wants us to ask him for help. And when we say, God, help me with my faith, with my lack of faith, he's not just going to say, okay, you can have more faith here. Be filled with faith. He's going to give us a way that we can prove that our faith works. He's going to give us a way, because great things take time. Like I said this morning, great things take time to renew themselves. Great things take time. And always remember that. Nothing is instant. We're not going to grow patience overnight. We're not going to become scholars of the Bible overnight. We're not going to come to know Jesus Christ just because we were baptized. We're not going to know everything about Jesus as soon as it happens. We know that we believe strong enough to know that Jesus Christ hung on the cross, that he died for our sins, and that we have sin within us that we don't want to be a part of anymore. So because of that, when we believe, when we hear the word of God, we believe it and we say, we don't want any more of it. So what do? We repent. We come forward. We ask for, we repent. We ask God to help us. We confess that Jesus Christ is Son of God, and we're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that is a fulfillment. That is fulfillment to God. That is fulfillment for our life. And that's what Jesus wants from us every single day of our life. He tells his disciples to take of my body and my blood. As often as you do this, you remember me. And you'll have life. You'll have life in you. As often as 52 times a year, 52 weeks in a year, that we come together, that we take of the body and the blood, and that it fills us with life. The blood of Jesus Christ continuously cleanses us from all sin. And that's what we can hold on to. And God wants us to always come to Him through Jesus Christ and ask for help through whatever it is, through burdens of losing jobs, through burdens of financial struggle, through burdens of struggling with pornography, of struggles of struggling with gambling, with struggles of drinking, alcoholism, with struggles of drug addiction, with struggles of marriage, with struggles of raising kids, with struggles of being able to find joy in times of difficulty. In all things. And that's where Joseph touches me deep within, that Joseph always found the way to not let these things separate him from God. Just like I don't want things to separate us from God. I don't want things to separate us from God and move us in the wrong direction. And so they have these dreams. Joseph didn't want them to be sad. Joseph didn't want him to struggle. Joseph wanted to help solve the problem. And the only way he can solve the problem is by God. Because he said, do not interpretations belong to God? See, it wasn't his own interpretation. It was the fact that the interpretation came from God for him to help lift these two people up. Because he could interpret these things. And that's the gift that God gave them. God gives us each gifts too. Some of us have gifts of speaking. Some of us have gifts of being able to sing. Some of us have gifts of empathy. Some of us have gifts of compassion. Some of us can love in ways that others can't. Some of us find ways to be kind and reach out. Some of us send cards. Some of us cook dishes. Some of us make phone calls. Some of us send text messages. It's the way that it's designed. We all have gifts that we can act upon, and we all have gifts that God has graciously blessed us with. So with Joseph, he gave him the gift to interpret things, because that was what was going to help him fulfill the glory of God. In verse 9, it says, the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. Very interesting. That's why I call him the cupbearer. Because when I think of the vine, I think of the cupbearer, I think of Jesus Christ. I think of Jesus Christ, the vine and the blood, and how we take of it, how it fills us, and how it's able to cleanse us from our sins. In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, in verse 10. And in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Joseph said unto them, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up your head, restore you unto your place, and you shall deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when you wasn't his butler. Into the former manner when you was not his butler. He says, but think on me when it shall be well with you, and show kindness. I pray you unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. So for this, Joseph makes a small, simple request. Just show me a little kindness. Show me a little kindness for me, for being able to help you here. And you know, putting ourselves in that situation, I think we would probably have been pretty out to help Joseph, I hope. I hope we would be filled and thrilled to have this interpretation that was bothering us, this burden that was bothering us, to be lifted. This is when we pray to God, and God answers our prayers, and we see it, we're ecstatic. We thank God for it. And that's the key to when we pray. When we pray to God, that we just don't leave that prayer unfinished. We don't leave the back door open, that we go back to God and we thank God for Him answering our prayers. And so, as I look at this and I see that he just, Joseph has a simple request, just please remember me. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, in verse 15. And here also have I done nothing that they should have put me into this dungeon. Well, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good for the cupbearer, he said unto Joseph, I was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. He said, and in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. He said, the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off of thee, and shall hang you on a tree, and the birds shall eat the flesh from off of you. He says, and it come to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. He lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but he forgot him. How oftentimes in life do we go, and we go extra miles, and we help people, only to forget us? How often did Jesus Christ go extra miles to help those that were in need? And where were they when he took the cross on Calvary? Where was he when he stood before Pilate and all those people were blaspheming against him and calling, saying he was a blasphemer, saying that he was the Son of God and he was going to destroy the temple in 3 days and build it back? Where are those people? Where are we at today? Because we know and we've accepted Jesus Christ into our life, we're Christ followers. Where are we in our life when we choose to let sin come into our life? Are we let the fact that we're too tired? Are we let the fact that we just don't have time to obey God? And let me remind you, I speak to myself all the time. I remind myself all the time to hold myself accountable. Hold myself accountable so that I can be inspiring to my kids. So that I can be an example to them, just like we have examples before us. To show us how not to forget God. How to remind us that God is the creator. He is the beginning and the end. He's able to do way more than we've ever thought about. And he's in the midst of us, all with Jesus Christ in the midst of us. Anytime we're together, anytime we're two or three are together, there I am in the midst. And that's the thing. Anytime we're able to be together, anytime we're able to be one, two, anytime you're on the phone, anytime you're speaking about God with coworkers, with friends, with family, just think about Jesus Christ sitting right there with you. Think about Jesus sitting right there with you. He's never forgetting us. He's never leaving us out, because he cares for us. He showed us that when he took the cross on Calvary. So we see that Joseph has now interpreted these two dreams for both these guys that he cared for. And I can say that because he showed concern. He showed empathy for these two people by interpreting their dreams, by helping them, by coming to them and begging them to share with him exactly what it was that they had on their mind and what they had on their heart. And so as we see that Joseph has been in prison, we see how Joseph is blessed with the ability to interpret these dreams. As we look at the cupbearer in John, let's look at John 15 chapter. Let's look at John 15 and 1. Jesus said, "I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman." And remember what the chief butler's dream was. He says, "In my dream was a vine before me, were three branches. They budded, her bosom shot forth, clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes, and Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I pressed the grapes into Pharaoh's cup." He says, this is the interpretation, the three branches or 3 days. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes it away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." He says, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." He says, "Abide in me, and I in you." He says, "The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine." Except it abide in the vine, the branch cannot bear fruit. No more can you accept it, abide in me. No more. But more, no more can. But more fruit can if we abide in them. He says, "I am the vine," in verse 5. "You are the branches. That abides in me, and I in him. The same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." You can do nothing without Jesus Christ. "And if a man abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them, and they cast them in the fire, and they are burned." But he says, "If you abide in me, my words abide in you, and you shall ask, you will, and it shall be done unto you." It shall be done unto you. How awesome is that? And he says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." So as we go throughout our day, let us examine ourselves. Let us examine our life. Is our life like Joseph going that extra mile to help? But are we forgetting? Are we forgetting why we're doing it? Are we just doing it because it's routine, and or is it because we love it? There's a difference. If we're doing something because it's just routine versus the fact that we love it and we enjoy it and we look forward to it, it's a different type of love. If I'm taking and if I'm going to work every day, I'm doing extra things, I'm working to supply my family with food to feed them, and I'm doing it because God tells me to, and just for that sole fact, then I'm going to burn out. But if I'm doing it because I love the fact that God tells me to do it, and I love my family that I'm doing it for, then I'm going to continue to do it. And I'm going to hold strong to it, and I'm going to be faithful in it. And I'm going to do whatever necessary to make sure that they're well fed and taken care of. Because God gives us the ability to do so. God gives us the desire and the dedication to hold fast, but it's only through him. He says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." So shall you be my disciples. So as we look at that, we look at the chief priest and we look at the cupbearer here. The cupbearer took, but he forgot about Joseph. He forgot about Joseph and what he did for him. So don't let us be like the cupbearer. Don't let us be one-ended. Don't let us forget what God has done for us on a daily basis. Let us be in remembrance. And let us be of a reminder every single day of how important it is that we don't forget where we've come from. We don't forget that God loves us so much that he gives Jesus Christ. He gives us the blood of the Holy One, the one of the the only one that could do this for us. And it happened in 3 days, it says. In 3 days, Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he was resurrected in 3 days. And in 3 days, the cupbearer was delivered from the dungeon back up next to Pharaoh again. Just like Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and he was sitting on the right hand of God. So as we look at the three branches in 3 days, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus rose the third day. For the baker, the baker, his head was going to be lifted up off of him. His head was going to be lifted. He was going to be hung on the tree. He was going to be hung. And just like Joseph interpreted, it panned out. Joseph's request for the cupbearer to remember him for his kindness was not fulfilled. But as we see here in verse 23, that the chief butler did not remember Joseph. Wouldn't you know that the cupbearer failed to remember him? To me, this shows no matter what we do for others, that it may not always be remembered. But with God, he'll never let us down. Cupbearers, just as the blood of Jesus is in the cupbearer lives, just as the blood of Jesus Christ lives today, just as the blood of Jesus Christ is important to us today, because it was the ultimate atonement for the sin. The cupbearer lives. The baker dies, however. The body of Jesus on the cross was broken for us. His flesh and blood, his flesh, the mortal body of Jesus Christ was broken, was crucified for us. But the Spirit, however, the Spirit of Jesus Christ was back with God on the right hand. The Spirit is important, but the flesh has no place after death. The flesh says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Only the blood is necessary. There's power in the blood. You have this song in the book. There's power in the blood. And only the blood of Jesus Christ can bring life into everlasting. The blood and water which poured out of Jesus Christ's side on Calvary. Reason the cupbearer lives, we live because of the blood. And we can look at that. And we looked at that in John 15, chapter verse 1, and Luke 6. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. Through 36. This was the chapter I encouraged you to read last night, that I say unto you, Jesus said in Luke 6 and 27 through 36, he says, I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. He says, give to every man that asks of you, and of him that takes away the goods, ask them not again. He says, and as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. He says, for if you love them which love you, what thank have you? It's easy to love people that love you. He says, for sinners also love those that love them. He says, and if you do good to them which do good to you, then what thank have you? Because just like loving people, doing good to people that do good to you is simply easy. Simply easy. But he says, for also sinners do the same. He says, and if you lend to them who you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners, and to receive as much again. So he says, but love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. That's the key. That we're not doing these things in hope of return from that person. And your reward shall be great, he says. He says, and you shall be the children of the highest. Notice that. We're going to be children of the highest, the God, God our Father. And he says, for he is kind unto you, unto the unthankful, and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. So when we're looking around and we're seeing things of life that's not going necessarily the way we anticipate, we get scared, if we're worried, if we're concerned, remember that, to keep these things of what Jesus Christ says here. If we as a group and as brothers and sisters in Christ, if we can keep these sayings together in our actions throughout every single day, leaning upon God for guidance, and as Brother Dana prayed this afternoon, that allowing God that we can lean on Him for guidance, then we can sustain this type of mindset and lifestyle. That we can maintain peace among one another, and we can still fulfill the law of Christ. We can still be dedicated to Christ. We can still share our thoughts and our opinions of how the gospel speaks to us. We can have debates, and we can talk amongst believers, non-believers, people of other denominations, different churches, and we can share ideas and bounce things back and forth and try to come to common ground. It's okay to do that, and it's a great thing. Sometimes we just don't see eye to eye, and that's okay. It's okay. Just like we see that, just like we see in society around us, people think if we don't agree, then we got to cut you off. But that's not true. That's not true. We don't have to just cut people off, as we saw that the cupbearer did to Joseph. He forgot about him. In John the 24th chapter, in verse 44, Jesus said, after he was resurrected and he appeared unto the 12, he said, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So after he came back, after he was risen from the dead, he reminds them that this is what I was telling you about, that was going to happen, that my death, burial, and resurrection, and these are the things that you're going to face. You're going to face struggles. You're going to face temptations. But keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on what God has done for you in your life. Keep your eyes on the fact that just because we're down in the valley right now, just because we may be struggling, that God's not going to bring you back to the top. But have respect of God just like you do in the valley. And have that same respect to God when we're up on the mountain, when we're at our highest. Just like we see in Joseph. Joseph never changed his mindset. He never changed his stance. And he never lost his belief and trust in God. And that is so key in society today. We want to get down. We want to feel bad. We want to lose focus on God. So these examples that we're looking at this afternoon and this weekend, let it be a reminder as we go throughout our week and throughout our next days, weeks, months, and years. And allow God to work the miracles that He does in our life. Remember, as we travel, as we get farther along, we'll understand why. We may not be able to see it while we're in it. When we look back, we will understand why. We'll be able to see it. Just like the song says, cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your attention. I hate we're not able to cover the entire story of Jesus, but like I said, whenever I'm going to continue this, each time I'm able to be back with you guys, and hope to be able to get to the end of it all, because it's so much this. Really, really covered really fast, I feel like, a little bit too much. But thank you for your time and your attention. If there's anyone here this afternoon that's able to, that's heard the word, that that's never been baptized for the remission of their sins this afternoon, if you want to come back and, or maybe you need prayers of the church for strengthening, for uplifting, and for encouragement, that we can pray with you and for you. We can baptize you this afternoon. If there's anyone here that needs the service of the church, please let it be known as we're sending the song that's been selected this afternoon.
Wonderful.